Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, hour five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It is time to talk more Cowboys football with you. Kickoff Sunday at noon, our pregame with Brian Broaddus and Eric Chiafalo at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Right here in Dallas, as the guys will be in New York getting ready to play the Jets. Nick Harris will be in tow, and he joins us now from the Star Telegram. Nick, good afternoon. How the heck are you?
Hey, doing fantastic, fellas. Appreciate y'all being flexible on this Friday afternoon.
No, yeah, no problem, man. We'd love having you on every week. Now, let's talk expectations for the offense behind this line that might have four backups playing. Can they keep the party going against this Jets defense?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You talk about that offensive line, they're going to be for sure without three starters. Left tackle Tyler Guyton's going to be out with a concussion. It'll be Nate Thomas in his spot. Center Cooper Beebe still on IR. It'll be Brock Hoffman in his spot. And then the right guard, Tyler Booker, still battling his high ankle sprain, with the potential of left guard Tyler Smith also not playing. There's some optimism in the building that he can get through this knee tendonitis, and it's going to be a true game-time decision for him on Sunday. But if he cannot go, there's going to be a lot of moving around. You probably have to move T.J. Bass to left guard, and then you probably see Hakeem Adeniji at right guard. Trevor Keegan is also an option there, but I would expect Adeniji. So, yeah, let's say that there are four guys up front that are going to be replacements. You know, I think it's more of a issue for the run game than I think it will be for the pass game. I say that only because Dak has been so good against pressure and against the blitz, not only so far this season, but throughout his career. You know, he's going to be facing more of it. It's a really talented Jets defensive front. Not only Quinnen Williams, but Will McDonald is really starting to put it together as a first-round billing, and he's had a great start to the season for the Jets. So, you know, for this running game, though, I'm not necessarily sure that the proof is in the pudding as much as it is with Dak Prescott and being able to account for pressure, account for blitz. You know, Javonte Williams is going to have, you know, quite a big battle in front of him, and then you're going to have a backup running back who's making his NFL debut, most likely, in Jaden Blue. So, you know, if you can get the running game established and you can get that going, then I might have a little bit more optimism, but, you know, it's not easy when you have a makeshift offensive line like this.
Hey, Nick, okay, you talked about moving Bass over to the left side, potentially, and then Adeniji playing on the right side. Is that just, is it a comfort thing? That has anybody told you if they had to do that, why, and did they maybe practice that way this week?
Yeah, I think they feel a little bit more comfortable with what the options would be at right guard if they were to move T.J. Bass, rather than what they would feel at left guard. Because, you know, Hakeem Adeniji, he has that veteran experience. He can slide in on that right side a lot more naturally than the left side. You know, they've worked him mostly at tackle throughout preseason and training camp, but he has that guard flexibility, and it makes more sense for him on the right side of the ball. And T.J. Bass, truthfully, they feel, honestly, he's more of a left guard anyway, but he's been the guy that's had to step in at the right guard spot, and he was fantastic against the Packers, in my opinion, pound for pound. I thought he was the best offensive lineman for the Cowboys in that game with what he was able to do in the run game and in pass protection. Honestly, a healthy surprise. But I think they would lean toward moving him to the left side if Tyler Smith cannot go.
While we're talking about the offensive line, what do you think allowed such a good performance against the Packers when it came to keeping the pocket clean enough and executing? Is this the coaching staff different? Is this the development coming right on time for Hoffman and Bass? What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, it's a combination of a lot of things, really. I think you can definitely point to the trajectory that Hoffman and Bass have taken, you know, year three and year four, respectively, out of being undrafted guys and have had to make their way from, you know, practice squads up to the bottom of the 53-man roster, and then now being these first depth options. And they've really put it together, and it's a luxury to have quality backup interior linemen in this league, and the Cowboys are fortunate to have a couple of them in Hoffman and Bass. But also got to give credit to offensive line coach Connor Riley and offensive coordinator Clayton Adams. You know, they have been prepared for this, and you know, I feel like they've attacked this moment just as strongly. You know, from a Clayton Adams perspective, when it came to the run game, you know, the run game remained consistent against the Packers despite there being, you know, two guys in the interior that were out. So much pin and pull action, so much creating of lanes between the tackles. that Clayton Adams was able to do from a scheme standpoint that I think you really have to give credit to. And then Connor Riley just being the man of that room to be able to, you know, have the wherewithal and to be ready when you know, the replacements are called upon. But I think with those guys, man, it's just a combination of a lot of things, and it's worked out great for them.
With Turpin having been ruled out, what does the wide receiver room look like for Sunday? And if Sauce travels with Pickens and takes him out of the game, who's your pick to step up?
Well, I will say, you know, you go back to the Steelers and Jets matchup from a year ago, Sauce traveled with Pickens, and Pickens had over 100 yards in that game. So, you know, if you're looking for someone to maybe have a leg up in that matchup, I would give it to Pickens. But looking at the rest of the receiver room, yeah, it's certainly going to be, you know, quite of a makeshift performance for them as well. You know, Kevontae Turpin out. You'll definitely see Jalen Tolbert take a step forward. You'll see Ryan Flannoy take a step forward. But I think the guy that will take over most of what, you know, Turpin gives you from a gadget, slot, speed weapon type perspective is going to be Jalen Cropper coming off the practice squad. That's going to be a fun guy to watch. And if you've listened to any of my content, you know I've been a big fan of him in training camp environments, and excited to see what he can look like from an offensive perspective. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they replace Turpin, not only in their return game, which is going to have a couple different wrinkles as well, but on the offensive side too.
Slowing down Justin Fields and his legs, Nick, what do you think their plan is here?
Yeah, you hope it's a spy, right? I mean, they did not utilize that to much avail in week one against Jalen Hurts when he had those pair of rushing touchdowns in the first half. And, you know, that certainly put them behind the eight ball in that game. But not even that one. Russell Wilson, Caleb Williams, Jordan Love, they've all gotten away for big scampers against this defense. You know, truthfully, I just don't feel like these linebackers are athletic enough to be able to handle, you know, a running quarterback like Justin Fields. I think it's the most talented, most natural runner they'll see at the quarterback position all year. You know, that's a tough ask. I mean, this is a guy who had a 43-yard rushing touchdown on Monday night against a Dolphins front that has had success at times against these type of quarterbacks. So, you know, you definitely have a lot of concerns going into the game. I'm not sure that any plan would be a good one based on what they've thrown on the field so far. But, guys, I just don't have a lot of optimism for this defense overall. I mean, there's not a lot to pull from it.
So do you think, all things considered, are you picking the Jets to win?
I am picking the Jets to win this game. I think there's just too many things working against the Cowboys right now. And, you know, could they surprise me? Or it wouldn't even be a surprise, honestly, but could they win this game? It would not surprise me. But I think too many things are working against them. We've talked about the injuries. We've talked about the scrambling quarterback that can make life difficult downfield. But also, this team has proven to show that road noon games have not been easy for them to pull out easy wins for. So, you know, you got a pair of those over the course of the next couple of weeks. I think this one's setting up to be an easy trap game.
You know, I guess I was feeling the same way as you. I ultimately picked the Cowboys, and I think it's hope that this was a difficult conversation week, coach to coach, coach to player, and that their defensive personnel shouldn't be this bad. Like, they can overcome it. But, you know, do you not have confidence in that? Do you think what we see is what we're getting over the next 14 games, 13 games with this defense?
I tell you what, I mean, you not only factoring in the issues that they've had on the defensive side of the ball, but, you know, all these starters that are out on the offensive side, you know, this is really an opportunity for this Schottenheimer culture to hammer home. And I'm curious to see how that could show up in a game like this. I am still very much a Brian Schottenheimer believer. I think the Cowboys have exceeded even my expectations that I had for him coming in and being a efficient play caller and him being a elite culture builder. You know, this is one of those games where you hope that culture building really shows up, because they're going to need all 53 guys. Shoot, they might not even have 48 guys available in this game. They're going to have to make three practice squad call-ups, but there's probably going to be a couple guys that are quote-unquote active that will not play because of health issues. That's how banged up that they are right now. So, you know, you hope that can come forward. But as far as the defense, to your question, man, until I see it, I'm just kind of a believer. I can't believe something until I see it. And so far, I haven't really. Have there been minor improvements week to week going back to that awful week two performance against the Giants? Absolutely. I think there have been minor improvements, but, you know, minor improvements aren't getting the
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Job done right now. I'm curious to see what Wanya Thomas can do as a deep safety. I think his communication style, based on the conversations I've had this week, might be able to work a little better for them on the back end. I'm curious to see how that manifests in this game against the Jets. And, you know, maybe they kind of fall up with a situation where Thomas has to come in for the injured Hooker, and he might end up being the better player.
Hey, Nick, how do you think that Diggs' comments towards the, you know, defensive coordinator and then also with Shoddy, how do you think those have been received?
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, Brian Schottenheimer talked about today in the presser. I had asked him, you know, Trayvon spoke on Wednesday about how he went to Eberflus and he wanted to play more man coverage. And he also talked about how he respected Schottenheimer's decision to not start him in that game. And, you know, Schottenheimer said that, you know, they had a good long conversation before the game last week. They agreed to disagree and they kind of moved forward off of that. And, you know, I think, you know, it's just kind of another feather in the cap of the contention that Trayvon Diggs continues to have with team personnel, whether it be the front office going back to training camp and then now coaching staff. But, you know, honestly, I can't blame Trayvon Diggs at this point because he has been a certain style corner his entire career. And then now that things are being asked to change quite a bit and there's no success coming with it, no success at all, and it's a 32nd ranked pass defense, then I understand, you know, wanting to have that conversation. And Schottenheimer even said, he's like, look, I love having guys that challenge our coaching staff. We have to have that. We need to be held accountable too. And so, you know, I don't think there was much contention in that conversation specifically, but I do wonder where the sitting him down, I do wonder where that stemmed from, and I'm not sure we'll ever get that answer.
So you feel like they should definitely be playing more man?
I do. I mean, they've drafted over the course of the last 5 years for a man defense, and they have guys in the secondary that have excelled at man, not only in coverage, but also in creating turnovers, which is something this defense has had trouble doing here in the first 4 weeks as well. You know, I definitely am under that belief.
I agree with you. Did they, with that being said, maybe hire the wrong defensive coordinator?
That's a
then?
Great question.
Yeah, and that's a great question, too. Yeah. And, you know, you wonder if there's a little bit too much of trying to fit a round peg in a square hole or whatever, square peg, round hole, whatever it is. You guys know what it is. I'm not the wordsmith over here, right? But I think possibly so. I mean, 17 games will tell a story. We are only 4 games into it. But if you had to ask me right now, I lean toward that thinking for sure.
Nick, to the best of your knowledge, was the Eberflus hire more of a Shoddy hire or more of a Jones hire?
I don't necessarily have that knowledge. I do call back, though, to, you know, if you look at the entire staff, right, and you look, just kind of put pieces together, you know, all of Schottenheimer's offensive hires, even his hire as special teams coordinator, were all guys that he's coached with before that he has experience with, or not all of them, but, you know, that he's had a personal connection with over the course of time. Clayton Adams was a guy he really connected with over on a sideline a few years ago in Indianapolis, and really, you know, it struck his eye how much knowledge he had, and that conversation carried through friendship for years. Matt Eberflus is the outlier when you start looking at the coaching staff hires. You know, he was the Jones experience guy. You know, he was the one that's been in this building before, and then he hired his defensive staff. So, you know, if you're asking me to make an educated guess, I would say Jones hire, but I don't have that confirmation for you, no.
So what's the expectation for Jaden Blue? Will he be rocking the Louis V cleats, and how much offensively do you think they'll put on his plate?
Yeah, no word on the Louis V, the Bluey V cleats, if you will.
Louis
yeah,
V, I love yeah. that.
His offensive output is going to be determined on Miles Sanders' availability. It is trending in the wrong direction as of right now toward Miles Sanders playing on Sunday. So, you know, he'll get those secondary touches, and I'm very curious to see what that'll look like. I think it could help a run game that might need it on Sunday against with 4 offensive linemen out. You know, his burst, his receiving ability, I think it could kind of bring something if the run game starts to flutter early on. But I think the return game is another aspect to keep an eye on here. I would expect him to be in on kick return, not punt return, but I would expect him to have some kick return opportunities here in this game too.
What's the situation with Marshawn Nealon? And if he can't go, who do you think benefits with those snaps?
Yeah, still getting information on the Marshawn Nealon perspective, but if he's not able to go, that probably leans more toward a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, who is mostly limited last week in his snap count. He's going to increase anyway, but it might increase even more. But, you know, hopefully in pass rush situations, you see more James Houston. And that's a guy that they are trying to get more snaps for, and rightfully so. I mean, the start to his season has been fantastic. He's leading the team in sacks. He's leading the team in pass rush win rate. So you'd like to see both of those things continue to increase with more snap opportunities.
What do you think about Ezra Raku following up that, like, mini breakout or breakthrough performance?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know I'm a huge fan of his, and I've loved to see what he's done in the run game so far this year. You know, I expected, if you told me, you know, hey, you're 4 weeks into the season, he doesn't have any sacks, I would be like, dang, that's kind of discouraging. But, you know, the reality of it is that he's actually looked really good in the run game, and I think that's an encouraging part to his early development, because, you know, I love the pass rush arsenal that he had at Boston College and being able to get to the quarterback. There were at times his run game maybe suffered a little bit, but he was still a really good run defender, and you've seen that run defense actually step up in his early time with the Cowboys. And so, you know, once that pass rush arsenal really starts to flash and he's able to put that on the field in an NFL game, I think you're going to have a pretty complete defender here. It's just kind of, it's more baby steps at this point for him than maybe I expected. But nevertheless, it's going to be fun to watch his progression.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy your trip up to New York, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. Have a great one.
There he goes, Nick Harris. He might not be a wordsmith, but he's a hell of a beat writer.
He's good. He's phenomenal. He is really good.
Doing a hell of a job there. So thanks to Nick for joining us every Football Friday here in the G-Bag Nation during the Cowboys season. What are we doing next, Eric?
Sports Hodgepodge featuring some college football nuggets. We got MLB postseason things to know, and maybe just a little surprise for you next in the nation.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.